All right, episode 2 of the Ride or Dynasty podcast. Well, welcome back and thanks for listening and joining us again. I'm Michael Kloss, one third of the founding fathers of Ride or Dynasty, and I'm joined by my co-hosts and fellow co-founders. That's Ryan Bickerstaff and Jay Winner. How's it going today, guys?
It's great. I'm happy to be here.
Looking forward to a fun night.
You know, it's episode 2. We got the first one off our back, and here we go, and hopefully some continued success for all of us. And thank you for all the comments and all of the listeners on that first episode. We're going to continue powering through. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at Ride or Dynasty. Our personal Twitter accounts at Ride or Dynasty are in the bio there. And of course, we'll hit you with that at the end of this pod, so you can give us a follow and converse with us. Please, we love to have that activity and really any opportunity to talk about this fantasy football game that we love here. So we're talking today. Let's get right to it. Our main topic is incoming rookies. I know that really each of us wanted to take a shot at bringing up two incoming rookies that we've had our eye on. I think that the way that we want to do this is we'll let you know what we think of the player, maybe where we see him going, or where we think that you can get him pre-draft, of course. So if you're ready for your rookie draft, you're drafting at the end of April or even later, we know, and we want to make sure that everybody knows too that, you know, the player stock can, of course, guys, right, rise and fall depending on which team drafts which player. But I think a good way to put it is we're looking to get these guys on your radar. So, Ryan, why don't you start us off with your first player that you wanted to bring up?
All right. First player I wanted to bring up tonight is James Williams, running back from Washington State. This is a player that caught my eye about mid-2018 season. And I've been a huge fan ever since. This is a running back I think has a lot of potential at the next level. I compare him to James White. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. His footwork is insane. I haven't seen many running backs with footwork quite like his. For being an undersized guy, you know, 5'9", 197 were his combine officials, he runs with a fair amount of power too. And he has a pretty nice stiff arm to boot.
So far, so good.
So, at Washington State, it's a very pass-heavy scheme. So he really didn't get a chance to show off his ability as a runner that much. Last year, he ran for 560 yards and 12 touchdowns. It was a 4.6 yard per carry. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. 83 receptions for 613 yards. He's going to be a PPR machine, and and really all of his weaknesses, per NFL.com on his scouting portfolio, his draft profile, most of them can be coached. His lack of commitment between the tackles, inconsistent block recognition, indecisive without clear point of entry. Scheme and coaching can, clear weaknesses like that up. This is a player I'm very high on. He's durable, athletic, and he fits the mold of the type of running back I love to target, which is the guys that can catch the ball too. And
have you been looking at kind of any mocks, or do you have any kind of idea maybe about where he's kind of going in dynasty drafts, or maybe where you would take him? It's hard right now to even
not knowing which team he's going to land on. I mean, I'd take him with a third rounder personally, but I think in a lot of leagues you could probably get him later than that. I think he's going to be a great value pick for a lot of people out there.
Yeah, I could definitely see him going probably third round. You know, the one thing with this running back class is there might not be as many top – it's not top heavy, but there are a lot of good options who might provide you with a solid PPR ceiling.
And that's what we're looking for too, especially, you know, in a if you're, you know, running back strapped. I know in one of my super flex leagues, I could go for a couple of running backs. I've got McCaffrey. And my second running back in that league, which has plenty of flex spots, is Damian Williams, depending on how high you are on Damian Williams. So that could be a sneaky draft pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, everything comes down to opportunity and the team and scheme he gets drafted into plays a huge role, but. You know, if the cards fall right, I think he can be an incredibly productive player at the next level.
Well, let's move right along. JJ, who's the first a player that you'd like to highlight?
Well, my favorite running back in this class is Darrell Henderson, running back out of Memphis, 5'8", 208 pounds. Last season, he averaged 9.5 yards per touch. So he was getting a first down practically every time you handed him the ball. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't a small sample size. Over the year, he posted 2,200 yards from scrimmage and 25 touchdowns. All right. So he was the second leading rusher in college football, scored the second most rushing TDs. I think his opportunity coming forward as being a lead running back, they're high. They're really, really high. I think he's going to be great. One of the great things about him, though, is he's coming in with under 500 total touches in college. So he has a lot of tread left. He's not one of those running backs who was run into the ground. Saquon Barkley had almost twice as many touches at Penn State as Henderson got at Memphis. I think you're going to see that he's able to force a lot of missed tackles. Mm-hmm. And if he hits the open field, he's gone. His combine numbers, he didn't post a great 40 time, but he ran a 40 that was at 4.36 that they threw out. So I think he has a lot more speed than he showed. And he's definitely going to improve as a pass catcher in the pros. You know, one of his big weaknesses, though, is he's not a great pass blocker, which isn't a huge issue, except it might take him off the field in third downs. That's something he's really going to have to work at. But I think you're going to be able to get Darrell Henderson, I think, at the end of the first, top half of the second round. In your rookie drafts, I think he's going to be a sneaky pick. And if he lands in the right situation, it could easily be the rookie of the year on offense.
More of a player that maybe you see potential to make an impact right away, of course, depending on situation and opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I forget who said it. Somebody compared him to like the running back version of Tyreek Hill. Just get the ball in his hands and watch him go.
Anything do you think as you look through any kind of mocks? Again, it's so difficult sometimes to talk about the pre-draft because not to harp on it, but we don't know exactly where he's going to go.
Right.
Have you gotten any kind of sense whatsoever what round that people are projecting, or from the scuttlebutt, or from what you're seeing, where you put that and where you put him?
I would see him definitely as a day two running back. You're looking at the second or third round. I don't even know if any running backs are going to go day one in the NFL draft. I don't think any deserve necessarily to go. I think there's a lot better options out there, but yeah, I definitely see him as a day two.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. I'm also pretty high on Daryl Henderson. I have him currently ranked as my number six running back in this class. But yeah, I'm have to agree. I don't see him as being a day one prospect. Definitely day two. I think he could go as high as the second round, and that he could have a very productive career in the NFL. JJ pretty much covered the bulk of it, but yeah, I think he's going to be good at the next level.
All right, the player that I would love to start off with is Miles Sanders of Penn State. I want you guys to kind of weigh in actually really quickly and tell me if I'm just kind of seeing things, because I feel like right at the end of bowl season, Miles Sanders was in that like sleeper category, and I feel like every single time I look again, there's a lot of good articles and a lot of good player profiles on him, and that he has just shot up draft boards. Are you guys seeing the same thing?
Yeah, I definitely am. I think especially since the combine and how high he tested across the board in every category. He's just an elite athlete.
So, Ryan, I think, too, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I mean, he might have entered, you know, the top three, top five overall dynasty rookie draft pick. That could fluctuate, of course. And I have this in the show doc that is I thought this is really funny. I wonder if people had Saquon Barkley goggles because of just the Penn State. But I think he's the real deal. I know that you and I were talking – just about his 40 time, 4.49, 40 yard dash, 20 reps on the bench. I like that three cone drill, which shows great agility, 6.89 seconds. What are you seeing from Miles Sanders that has you rank him about the fourth best running back in our Ryder Dynasty rookie running back rankings?
It's kind of a combination of just the whole package. He's an elite athlete. Like he's at 4.49 40 time. He's 5'11", 211 pounds. Big dude. He's fast. He's agile. He's very productive at the college level. You know, and he did sit behind Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
So he isn't worn out by any means.
No, he's, absolutely.
Not to mention sitting behind a guy like Barkley, he probably picked up a few things.
Yeah, you know, I wonder how that actually translates, you know, in the college game at NFL. Obviously, you talk to the guys, you know, on the bench and your teammates and everything. I mean, I think talent obviously wins out, you know, with the tread left on the tires too. You know, Penn State did a lot of RPO and zone read. So like, he's not one of those running backs that needs to run out of the eye. So he's got really good vision too. I found this interesting. When you do player comps, I tend to watch a lot of film on YouTube. I know you guys do too. And I wanted to kind of look and tell you kind of about my player comp, because I saw three different sites have a couple different, but two sites agreed that they kind of comp him to TJ Yeldon. And I see more of like a Chris Carson with maybe that little agility, cutting ability of, dare I say, LeSean McCoy. I know that, again, I'm not going to say that he is that player, but again, I really like that springy shiftiness. I think that he could be better than TJ Yeldon. There's a lot of factors that go into that, but I don't see any major red flags, and I'm happy to go on record saying that if you're the 105 pick this year, or even after, right? And I'm going to say this regardless of spot where he gets drafted, unless he's like fourth on the depth chart. I think that you take him there. He really is, again, in my opinion, top five, and I'm going to plant my flag on that one.
I think that's a very strong take. I love strong takes. The only thing I'd be wary about with Miles Sanders, he fumbles a lot.
That's a good point.
And if anything in the NFL keeps you from playing, it's fumbling the rock. So I don't think it's, you know, if he fumbles in his first game, all you're going to hear the announcers talk about is Tiki Barber and how Tiki Barber learned not to fumble and, you know, that tired old story. But I think he can learn how to secure the ball better. But I sometimes wonder if he was trying to do a little bit too much in college, mm-hmm. maybe because of those Saquon Barkley goggles that you mentioned.
Yeah. You know, if memory serves me right, I think Kareem Hunt fumbled on his very first snap against the Patriots.
He did.
Yeah. Was it, 2 years ago and two seasons ago? Now I feel old. And, you know, he rebounded pretty quickly, especially in that game. I'm not making a Kareem Hunt comparison. I'm just saying you learn really quickly in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right. Like somebody like Andy Reid went right back to him, and mm-hmm. it was beautiful to see. But let's not forget David Wilson, you know, back from the Giants
right.
And Tom Coughlin, that notorious – jerk that he is, benched him, left him benched for a year, you know, just because of a fumble. So hopefully he'll end up with a good coach who will let him work through the issues rather than somebody like Coughlin who is so rigid.
Good point. That brings us, Ryan, it's your second player to watch. What you got for us?
All right. Andy Isabella, wide receiver from yes. UMass. He's one of my favorite players in the entire class. He's a little undersized, 5'9", 188. You know, he's been kind of falsely seen as a slot receiver, but he can line up anywhere on the field. He can be a possession receiver. He can be a deep threat. He can play in the slot. He can line up anywhere as a receiver, and you know he even takes snaps out of the backfield. In college, he had 342 rushing yards. So last year, 2018, he had 102 receptions for 1,698 yards and 13 touchdowns.
Woo.
And those numbers are insane at any level. And, you know, people say, oh, the competition level. All right, get this. Against Georgia, 15 catches, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Great stat.
Against one of the best teams, one of the best defenses in the country. It's, you know, I'm not too worried about his competition level. You know, a few knocks against him, body catching is a problem. But, you know, that can be worked on, you know, and as long as he's not dropping the ball, you know, body catching, you learn to live with it. He's fast too, 4.31 40 time. It's insane. Like he's just going to take the top off of defenses. He's, you know, he had, 737 yards after catch in 2018, and his quarterback had a 129.3 passer rating when targeting Andy Isabella. Like this guy is going to be a valuable target for an NFL quarterback, and I feel like a lot of people are sleeping on him a little bit. I can honestly see him being like a top three, top five rookie receiver this year. Putting up, 750, 800 yards, 6 to 8 touchdowns. I don't think that's out of the question. And I think he can develop into a 100 catch, 1,000 yard receiver in time.
Did you have a player comp there for us?
Player comp? Well, if we're going to be making bold claims on this podcast, he's similar in size and speed to Tyreek Hill.
I can get behind that.
I don't know, guys. I'm not sure what I'm looking at with Andy Isabella. He did catch a lot of balls. But the majority of the passes he caught were screen passes. They want him to play inside, which is actually probably a good move for him because he can't really deal with any type of press coverage. And anytime anybody got up on him in college, because, you don't see a lot of press, he had a very difficult time because of his size. I'm hoping, he's a great story. I would love to see him do well. If he ends up on the Patriots, I'm sure he'll be a Hall of Famer, much like Edelman. That was a little joke because we all know Edelman's not a Hall of Famer. But I don't know. I don't know quite how I feel about Isabella. I think he just might be a little too small to make it in the NFL.
Now, if he goes to – and I don't know if I could even – suppose a team, but say he went to a team like, I'm going to throw it out there, the Steelers, right? That already has an established in now Juju, maybe even to a Dante Moncrief, depending on how much he actually ends up playing. Obviously, there's other wide receivers there, but if he actually got on the field and there were other wide receivers to take enough pressure away from him where he could still garner snaps, whether it's from the slot. Again, deciding what they do with Juju Smith-Schuster is another conversation. But with a quarterback maybe like Ben Roethlisberger that, wants to do some short or intermediate routes, is it really all about opportunity there?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think that all you need to do is get him in the game and, throw him the ball. He will come down with it. I think that some of the issues when it comes to press coverage can be dealt with. I don't think that's the end all be all for a wide receiver in the league. There are plenty of guys that are, his size that have been productive players. I think that, some of that savvy to get around those issues will come with experience. But throw him the ball, he'll come down with it. That's it's all about opportunity.
So that means, JJ, if you're not entirely high on Mr. Isabella, can you give us somebody that you do like?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm not saying Isabella won't make it, but I'm just not leaning that way. Okay. Somebody who I'm kind of interested in goes by the initials JJAW, which pretty much are my initials too. JJ or Sagal Whiteside. But outside of the initials, that's about all we share. He's a wide receiver out of Stanford, 6'2", 225. A little bit older. He's 22 right now, which I don't quite like, but it's not too bad. But he is a physically imposing former basketball player who knows how to catch contested balls. Mm-hmm. So if you throw him the ball, he's coming down with it. He's a big guy. Last year, he caught 63 balls for 1,059 yards, 14 TDs. He's a Stanford player. I forget which old exec said it, that all you have to do every year to win is draft a Stanford player. They're smart. He was a captain. He's a leader of the team. And he was a hard worker in college. And if you look at his production, every year he got better. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, I'm probably the highest among the three of us on him. And I have him ahead of DK Metcalf, only because I'm so low on DK Metcalf.
Right.
That's
huge. But I want to hear why.
I picture his comp as one of my favorite players of all time, Marquise Colston, who went to Hofstra University, which is my alma mater. They don't have any measurable that blows you away, but they just know how to get open in small spaces and how to come down with the ball. Mm-hmm. He would be a great red zone target. He has a great catch radius. He has big hands. So he's going to be able to grab that ball. But one of his big weaknesses, as I said about Isabella, is he wasn't really able to get off press coverage when he did face it. It's something he is going to have to learn. And of course, he has no real deep speed. So I don't know. I'm interested in seeing if I can get him in maybe the later second round of drafts. After all the top wide receivers go off the board, people start going to tight end and other positions, I might try to sneak him in with maybe an early third or late second round in a rookie draft.
And I love that you clarify that too, because there are so many variables up in the air right now, and we definitely want to make that clear. But at the same time, I love how you kind of talked about your rankings with DK Metcalf, because regardless of right now where you have them ranked, we all know that DK is probably going to go, you know, somewhere to the top five just based on that photo of him in the gym alone, right? but if you're looking at him as a second rounder, and you do feel that he shows traits that, you know, maybe aren't rivaling a player like DK Metcalf, but are at least comparable in your eyes, then those are the things that I think are most helpful to you all out there, because, you know, that's so big that you can get that value at that round.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really hard. It's really difficult as a fantasy player to make your third, your fourth, your fifth round picks matter in rookie drafts. If you can hit on those 20% of the time or 30% of the time, you are going to be an excellent dynasty player.
Absolutely. Well said.
You know, and a lot of people do not know how to draft. They hate those late round picks. I love them. I love taking flyers. I love listening to people I trust who'll talk about guys and their traits. I mean, I know Ryan and I have been talking about Matt Waldman's RSP, which is like my Bible. You know, it's always a great place to find those guys who are late in the draft. And I think, you know, JJAW is going to be awesome.
I think the actual Bible has fewer pages than that report, but he's great. Ryan, can you introduce my next player? Because of your conversation and us just kind of having a really great talk on Slack several days ago, I really wanted to talk about this guy, but you were the one that kind of clued me into him and got me really to watch a lot of film on him. So who are we talking about here?
All right, we're talking about Terry McLaurin from The Ohio State University, wide receiver.
I'm so glad that you told me to check him out, because I feel like I just kind of stumbled on a little bit of a hidden gem. And you know, it's interesting because his senior year stats weren't exactly great. You know, they're not going to blow you away. 701 yards receiving, but 11 touchdowns. Impressive in the Senior Bowl. And he was, you know, catching passes from Drew Locke and Daniel Jones there. One thing that I'm glad that you pointed out and that I really noticed is that he's going to win those contested catches. And that's really what I want in the NFL, that you go up strong and get after that ball because the corners are elite. I would say that while that is impressive, most impressive to me is that he's a really detailed route runner. We brought up DK Metcalf just a little bit ago, and not to keep knocking on him whatsoever, but I feel like, and tell me what you guys think too, is maybe his route running is, and I'm talking about DK, is not as detailed. So when I do see, someone that can almost hit every route on the route tree, that excites me a lot. I'm ready to call him an elite route runner.
That's a strong statement.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a big claim.
And I'm okay with that, just because he's going to get against, let's just say far superior talent, on his rookie year, but it's his time to shine. The comparison that I've actually read and I would say agreed with, I don't know that I'm ready to go out on somebody else, is Nate Burleson. So
interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that comparison.
That really, I want to say, sticks out as a Hall of Famer, but someone that you can count on. And I think that, Terry is more of a, I'm going to say end of the second, third round, maybe even later. But, that is, as JJ, as you mentioned, I think that's value there, definitely. Ryan, actually, you mentioned to me just to take a look at, some of his blocking ability, which is a little bit of a weakness, and you even talked about with your player about body catching. I wonder if that has anything to do with just quarterback play, and when you get to the NFL, if it's any better and maybe a little bit better coaching. So I'm looking forward to see how he progresses on the right team.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think your comp is very good for him. I think he has the tools to become a very good player at the next level. Very underrated guy coming out of college, but he'll get noticed. Talent, cream always rises to the top, they say, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's hot. That's hot.
All right. Will Smith takes us to our second and final segment here. We like to call it Hot Reads. We're going to give you a couple more rookies of interest, a little bit more of an abbreviated version here from our previous segments. And we're going to make a bold prediction about this player. I'm going to start us off. Rodney Anderson from Oklahoma. He is extremely injury prone. At least he's had some trouble staying on the field. In his seasons at Oklahoma, he had fractured vertebrae, an ACL injury, and a broken leg. But when he was on the field, he was a quick power back with really good hands, and that's valuable in the NFL. He is high risk, high reward pick. I've seen him go off for on believers saying that he's first round talent if he stays healthy. That's the operative. I think that maybe you wait and get him early second. So for those league champs, you want to take the risk. You just came off a title. Grab Rodney Anderson.
All right, Stanley Morgan, Jr. He's 6'2", 202 out of Nebraska. Don't confuse him with a brokerage or accounting firm, but Morgan is very similar to my favorite Cornhusker wide receiver, Quincy Enunwa, someone who does things the right way and plays hard. Some analysts have compared him to Hines Ward. Look for him as a late-round flyer.
All right, moving right along to Alexander Mattison, running back from Boise State. He's the best Boise State running back since Doug Morgan. Don't let that 4.67 40 fool you. He has the speed to get it done at the next level. He's a very productive college running back, and I think he has a sneaky good chance to become a feature back at the next level.
You know, the last one I just want to touch on, it's not necessarily a positive. Devin Singletary, 5'7", 203 out of FAU. I was a big fan of Devin when I heard that his nickname was Motor. He had a great college production level. But the more that I read and the more that I watch of him, he's the type of college back who is going to rent some space but not buy any in the NFL. I don't think he'll last, so I'm avoiding him in drafts.
Ryan, who was that that comp you made, that Boise State running back?
Oh, Doug. I said it was the best Boise State running back since Doug Martin.
Okay, gotcha. I, for whatever reason, I thought I misheard, and I just wanted to make sure that I'm not going deaf. So thank you for that. All right, so that's going to do it for our second episode. Again, if you're looking to follow us, which we hope you are, for some of the best content, dynasty-wise, rankings, you can find us at rideordynasty.com. And also, we're pretty active on Twitter, at rideordynasty. Again, in the bio of at rideordynasty, you can find our individual personal Twitter handles, but we're going to give them again to you. I am at Michael S. Kloss. Ryan, let's hear yours.
It's at @Bix_picks_FFB.
All right. And JJ over here, mine's pretty simple. It's at JJ Wenner, WENNER.
Well, we appreciate you listening to episode 2 of the Ride or Dynasty podcast. You can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Hopefully that you're listening on our website, rideordynasty.com. That's going to do it for us today. For JJ, for Ryan, thanks for listening. Have a great day.